are drawing closer to the end of this retreat, this gathering of mental training. And I like in this closing to invite you to share the merit, the forces of goodness which come from such practice, to share it with my teacher, specifically transmitted this training to me. So I like to share the merit with my teacher, Sivaji Ubaikin. Those from whom I have benefited. And with all teachers. Second, I like to share the goodness and merit of this practice. We have done in this time to share it with the community of Lusbacken, especially with those who have given their selfless action and effort to organize this course, to bring it about. Tremendous effort is required, and a lot of giving and caring. Also, especially I have in mind at this moment the cook who has in great care provided for the nourishment of our bodies. And participated in this training at the same time. To all those who have helped and contributed, for the conduct of this course, also the merits of our interaction may they be shared. Let us share the merit of the goodness of this practice now, with the grounds of this place, of this site, with the skies, with the birds, and all creatures seen or unseen around, with the horses, the chickens, the cows, the bees. It's all what has contributed also indirectly or directly for sheltering us here, for providing generously hospitality. May the pure forces at this site within those inhabitants or residents grow, and may this community become a great focus and source for this kind of human practice or transformation. And lastly, but not least, I'd like to share the merit of this retreat of mental training with each one of you who have tremendously contributed through your being here, through your openness and willingness and efforts to come to remove that in us, what clouds the naturalness of our being. You have marvelously participated and given that what was available to you, and for this I personally extend my thanks and appreciation. I enjoyed the sense of unity we had at times in higher dimensions than at others. But even the lower moments of the unity are positive opportunities and moments for our growing, for training the mind. I have conducted this retreat of mental training in accordance with the Abhidhamma. And in accordance with the teachings I have received, and also in accordance with my own heart and understanding. practice the capacity of my giving in this meeting of mind to mind. It's impossible to have total satisfaction in everything we do. So maybe now, with regard to that, open our hearts to the fruits and the seeds and to that what we received here. And may we be able to nurture that, to provide further growing to what this, my giving, was directed. My sharing this I extend to you, my wishes of well-being and boundless unfolding. Thank you. And this has brought us to declare that this retreat of mental training or of Vipassana meditation has reached its formal ending, and I declare our commitment to silence as lifted. And may we meet perhaps sometime in future again to such efforts as this as we have been. Thank you.
surprise for us. So we're going to have fun. You. It's a symbol, mantram. Thank you.
That is very human, and that is not tied to any dogma, to any belief, to any mystical suggestion. That is so very, very true and basic. Keep to this image, keep to this truth. We are in very short while parting. Anicca, or the law of impermanence, at its height of action, in a split second, we will be all dispersed. Everybody changing his consciousness various times, everyone in different directions, and the unity will be broken, just to reunite again, just to establish it once again. You will enter other unities. All is very temporary. All is very impermanent. Please, this is something to remember at all times when you ask the question, how shall I continue my practice at home? Let thoughts of this cosmic law of impermanence come to you when you are in distress, when you feel it is overwhelming, when sorrow seems to to distract you. Hold on to this. Let the truth of it permeate you. Remember, you are breathing, also a great representation of the law of impermanence. I breathe in and I breathe out. No matter how many desires I would manufacture to keep to one breath, impossible. If we live sensitively to that, on the intellectual level to understand it, and to the degree we can experience this law of impermanence within us, you very naturally live in a state of sensitivity. During this last hour of our meditation, our parting, a communication and meditation, here and then we will fall into silence to allow that what is shared to to penetrate, to surround me, to take seed or strength. During that time, you may, one of you at the time, or perhaps two, may get up and just silently make from your place as mine if you get up just silently. Walk around and come back anywhere. Not now, I just demonstrate. Suppose it was you. I came up from there and you just silently meditate in walking in coordinates with form. You sit and meditate and communicate. That's part of our celebration. You may have at the time two walking or three. Maybe not more. Just very tight. Or if you just feel you make too much noise, better stay. Or just it is a kind of an invitation also to heighten your sensitivity toward yourself and the surrounding, which we so tremendously lack. Tremendously. I did not refer to us specifically. I referred to all mankind, to all, to myself, to everybody. Think only one at a time and half circle, not the other way that others may have the opportunity. So one at a time would be two in a second. There's another way of doing it, what you did, you may just get up and come and sit down for a moment before the symbol of the enlightened mind. Very good. So now let us fall back into the is also at the same time nothing special. It's just another meditation, another lending myself to the quiet inquiry. I mentioned before that for the support of our practice, we are not anymore having the support of the group at home. The remembering of the law of impermanence is one of the greatest aids to collect yourself, to come to quiet, to realize that your clinging at the moment, or that what makes you suffering, is subject to impermanence. The association with this, the openness to what this truth can relax you, can give you ease. That is on a thought form. Then the next form is you remember that you are breathing and that it is a representation of impermanence itself. The next form is that you really sink into that experience and allow your mind to pick up all phenomena arising from this mind-body process. And you begin to note even that what is mental. And there, indeed, you have a direct touch with impermanence at its height. How long does a thought last? How many times does a consciousness change within 1 minute? Awake to this. That is the greatest support for your practice at home. It is one requisite in your entire practice at home, in your entire relationship to this, and actually to all what you do in life, is sincerity. Another word comes with this, commitment. Sincerity brings commitment. It is not that imposing to you, but it is that openness which brings understanding with you. We all, as I already mentioned, have enough experience of this. Commitment, I mean, more that resolve for yourself to really take up this practice at home, not Vipassana practice, not Vipassana meditation, call it any name. What it is that you provide the energies and the efforts for your own living mind-body process to come to balance, to come to see itself, all living components in this mind-body interaction or process, comes to see themselves. And what we call meditation or practice is your sincere giving to this, your sincere providing the opportunity for that. I call this practice invitation to yourself. see whether that feels right, whether this describes the process. Does it feel?
Yes, I think that was beautiful.
Then you are free from all dogma, from all beliefs, from all ideas of Buddhism, of Christianity. But you are in such a way free that you can give respect and you're bowing, if you feel, your honor to all these names, for they represent something of this process. You don't need to assert your idea about anything or to defend what you are doing when someone else comes with another argument. Never assert in this. The truth never asserts itself. Never become a missionary. Through that, you only create unrest mind, restless minds, or disturbing ones, or provoke others to assert and to defend. This is very important to feel in yourself. This is a great support for your practice at home, this attitude, not to be a missionary, not to become compulsive, tell everybody how great your experiences are or have been. Rather tell them through your action, through your expressing that experience of which you want to talk. That particular sensitive, gentle tenderness you experienced here, express it. In that given conversation, practice it whilst you are listening what the person is arguing or saying. Observe yourself, how you communicate what you want to communicate of this in you. Be highly in attunement with yourself. If you all can hold to this, to that basic characteristic of this practice, this relatedness to yourself, you have no trouble in communicating, you have no trouble in interacting with your fellow pilgrim, with your fellow being. Give relentless effort to renew this in you. Do not be angry when you feel you fall temporarily. That too passes. That too is part of growing. Accept everything, but not in a slumpy way that is it. No, accept it as an invitation to do better, to redeem that what you feel was not wholesome, or which has hurt you, or which has hurt through your imbalance others. Do you understand? Mario? Then you are that that one which walks on the tightrope. You always in the effort and in the renewing of your balance. Then it becomes somehow a dance. But don't get hooked on that idea of the dance and imitate the dance before you really get balanced. There are so many traps in this because of the fastness of the mind and the conniving quality of the mind, the trickiness of the mind. It can come in various images and pictures and concepts to you, which almost seems always that is, that is it. That is the truth, that is so. And then you very quickly can assert on that and solidify. There are interesting pictures, illustrations about this in the Buddhist scriptures or art, in the Buddha art, where you see the Buddha sitting, the mind holding to that relatedness, to that clarity, and the whole samsaric world around it. Dancing geishas or dancing gopis, tempting him, and people drinking and enjoying dances and wine and birth and get-togethers and what samsara can give you on pleasures is all illustrated in little groups all around him as a actually it is what his mind can manufacture, what he sees, and all as temptation for the destruction of the mind. And here we see them that there is clarity here represented in that quiet sitting. He knows the tricks of the mind. He knows the self-deceptions. He knows, therefore, the decision to make for the next step. Well, it's endless. I wanted just to illustrate a little bit about our practice, the difficulties also. On a very subtle, fine reality. So for this, the greatest security in our practice is to recall or to fill your heart with that understanding that there is really no self, that there is no a solid entity as me, that there is just this process, and this me, this I, is just a collective word for it. So it isn't all that great importance around me. And that naturally lets you flow into a state of very natural open humbleness, which is also nothing else but sensitivity. You, in other words, you rather listen and give it a chance than just always be eager and concerned what I feel and what I think and how I like to match everything. This is going on every so much. Somebody I revere highly said to me, the danger of our future for mankind is not the atom bomb or these great weapons. The danger lays actually in the mind. The danger lays also in this influencing the mind. I don't find the right word, you know what I mean. In this compulsion we have in modern time to bring my individuality always through the wrong identification with freedom. And the imposing of the mind to others. So it is so important to come to a very clear objective ground in yourself. And so all my practices, I practice and pursue this for 22 years of really intense and sincere way. I have studied comparative religions, I have given myself to several practices. I must say, this is what the Buddha offers us, the path of mindfulness. The practice of purifying the mind, of uprooting those qualities and tendencies which are unwholesome, which create disharmony and suffering, is to me the most clearest way, or is one of the clear, very simple. And it is so human, and it is applicable for everybody. It is for the one who is associating himself with one denomination also of use. It is so neutral. To me, my teacher said, don't worry about what faith you have, or with whom you speak, or share to whatever faith he belongs or religion. You practice reducing your evil forces. You can only become a better Muslim, a better Christian, a better Jew, a better human being. So it's very safe, the practice of mindfulness. Please take home all what became reinforced in you. If the seed of this practice was already in your heart, if you were new to it, please provide a lot of occasions and live a life that nurtures this seed in you. By that I want to say that this seat of noting mind, witnessing this living process, requires some certain conditions to live. And therefore it is no question of morality, it's no question of discipline, it is no question of anything. It is the question of how do I want to live? Do I want to manifest? my metta to myself. May I be happy. Then I live according to that, what this seed in me asks for. I cannot live a disturbed life. I can't hold on. I have to provide always that openness and spaciousness to go along with this process which leaves and which comes to balance under my observation and my quietness, my lovingness, my friendliness. That may be enough for our attitudes at home, which may support us and spread this, and may gradually transform my life style. Let us sit now. Okay, let your mind again look into this, what lives and breathes. Let the thoughts flow as they come and go, and let the truth of the impermanence just be there. Or just be yourself. See whether you can sink into this, so that we are open for metta. Just relax into it. So this, what sits here, which has the name Anna, Björn, Ulla, Monika, Marion, and so on. I extend all wishes of happiness let us be visited by thoughts of loving kindness, of love. Let us realize that love is a very important ingredient of life, and may I be able to express it. May I be able to be loving. Loving means being happy. So, with all my thoughts, this I wish to myself. Happiness. And in this, I ask for forgiveness to those I did wrong, and may they both be forgiven. May the joy of free and open participation of life be with me. May I be able to understand suffering in the hearts of others. And have a quiet, balanced mind to be able to help those who need. May I be compassionate. Let us reflect that to all these, to this state of happiness above all, it's necessary that I am free of anger, that I am free of agitation and hate, of restlessness, indulgences. May these forces reduce their power over me, and may I come, may I be happy. relentless effort in overcoming these forces. Please take care. Kidding. Let it go. May I be able to renew my strength for this. It is a nice thought to allow to think of this state of being where I am really free of all emotions which cause this suffering. Where there is just openness and free responding to life. Very naturally, there is no isolation in me. Very, very naturally, I can never feel I am alone, I am cut off, I am imprisoned. In that freeness of these suffering creating, pain creating forces in me, I am flowing like a river, touching life in an open response. Think of that. This is the power of love. In times of distress, in times of upset, you can really succeed by thinking in this way, some kind of quiet to bring about, some kind of tenderness to allow in your heart. Dear friends, realize that the trouble we have in the world and in my family and in my interacting with my lover and beloved in my community is that there is a great deal it is due to a great deal of to a lack of love, of being open, of not clinging is love too, permitting. Just enough the thought to allow. It costs nothing. It is available at our feet, at our hand. It's only a turn of my attitude. That is expansion of consciousness. That is transformation of consciousness. May we not get hooked on these great terms and slogans. Humbly, simply. I think it is get up, time to get up, to stand for me.
Right.
you now understand it? Where is it? Is it?
Oh, good.
You can't do this. To bring into your mental field, into this mental world,